New Year. Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 587. I call this a talker podcast, where I have some stories here that I pulled today, and I'm just going to talk about some stuff that's bothering me, and I don't know where I'm going to go. I have a love-hate relationship with this, because sometimes I have to do this. I would prefer to prepare more, you know, fully, and lay out and outline what I'm going to talk about, but sometimes it's best not to do that. So I don't know what's going to happen in this podcast, but we're going to go. Well, it is cold outside. I don't think I need to belabor that point. But one of the things I've noticed is when it gets really cold, it sucks the humidity out of the air, so it's also really dry, and you can get really dehydrated very quickly. You know, in yoga, we have this thing where, you know, you're practicing yoga in a hot room, so it's hot yoga, and I don't care if you do the most basic level class. It is unheated, but people get sweaty because it's hot when you're doing this stuff, and if you're in a room of over 100 degrees or 98 degrees, depending on the class, it's going to get hot really quick. But when we have these temperature fluctuations where it's 40 below zero or 10 below zero, and then a couple days later, it's 35. I mean, that's a huge difference in temperature and humidity. And of course, you know, your body has to adjust to that. So for all the reasons that I use Hydrus, which is a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to get critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness, there's no sugar in it. So I've talked about all that. But another one is to maintain or at least balance out your hydration levels when the weather is shifting. We think it's winter, right? And we don't think that there's that much of a temperature difference or a differential that your body has to adjust to. And my theory is, and this is just my theory, that, you know, you can drink a lot of water, but you're still not fully hydrated. And you go into these classes, and I see people hit the floor because they, and I have, actually, it happened to me a couple of weeks ago, where I just wasn't hydrated enough, and I hit the floor, and I had to take a break, and I hate that. Well, Hydrus makes that unnecessary because you can kind of track all the way through. Yes, if you're doing yoga, if you're doing CrossFit, you're going to sweat. You're in rooms of over 100 degrees with yoga. I know that CrossFit is very demanding, but if you do any kind of other Orange Theory, SoulCycle, any of that stuff, or even if you're just out in this kind of weather, Hydrus makes a huge difference. Hydrus will help you take it to the edge, get down to the grit, as they say. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's HydrusPerformance.com. Look for Hydrus Performance on Instagram and Facebook, HydrusPerformance.com. Remember, it's hydration, and it's a hydration drink, so it's getting electrolytes into your muscles, but there's no sugar. It does not use sugar, and that's one of the great things about Hydrus. Given that the Republicans have been sworn in, so the Republican Congress is sworn in a little more than 10 days, the new president will be sworn in, also hailing from the Republican Party. And I decided tonight I'm going to just do a quick podcast and talk out some current events. And usually I don't do that. And I could certainly wait and do this stuff for the radio show this weekend, but I decided I'm not going to do that because I'm starting to have, and I'm going to talk about this going forward, I'm starting to have real difficulties with the formatics of radio, where you are, or television for that matter, where you're locked into doing 5, 10, you know, 9, 6, 8-minute segments, and you know, I suppose 10 years ago I would have said, well, if you can't say in eight minutes, why would you do that? But I have come to the conclusion that sometimes it's, first of all, that's not the way conversation is actually takes place out there. Secondly, when you're up against the time, it gets difficult to talk things out when you're looking at the clock and you know you've got 6 minutes and then 5 minutes and then 4 minutes and then 3 minutes and then 2 minutes, and it's driving me crazy. I think it's one of the reasons that broadcast media in particular is so ineffective at actually shedding light or providing perspective, as I talked about in the last podcast, or context for what is going on. This is what is so sorely needed in the discourse today. Aside from the fact that everybody's getting their news from social media and they're clicking on stories and they're reading pieces or shards, and again, today I sat down and amidst all the other stuff I was doing, and I started looking at doing what I always did, which is preparing. And that is to say, pulling a bunch of stories and printing them up and reading them separately and thinking about them all day, as opposed to getting news stories from Twitter and just firing on them the way people do on television. Oh, there's this Twitter feed that says this, or there's this Facebook page that says that. And by the way normal everyday people talk about stuff, they pull stuff off of Facebook and they talk about it, and there's not much perspective. And I don't want to go into that too far, because that's, I'm getting ready to have guests over, and I don't want to, I just decided I was going to come down here and quick talk about some of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. So, yes, the Republicans have been sworn in Congress, Senate, and the House. And with that, there's all kinds of talk about what they're going to do and what they've tried to do and what they're planning on doing and how this is all going to work. And everyone's all up in arms now because of the threat to repeal Obamacare has been renewed. First of all, I'm surprised that people would be surprised. This is what the Republicans ran on. And if they don't do it, then they are not going to have any credibility with the people that voted for them. And I'm not talking about the presidency. I'm talking about individual congressmen and senators who were reelected or elected for the first time who talked about this kind of a thing. Yes, Obamacare should be repealed. From my perspective, certainly not for any particular reason. I don't care whether they repeal and replace. Were it up to me, if I was the king or if I was in Congress, I would propose that we repeal it completely and not replace it with anything. And that, in fact, the Congress should reduce regulation on the insurance industry as much as possible. I'm against any kind of entitlement or any kind of expansion of entitlements because they expand government power. And this one in particular, without going into a lot of detail, this one expands government power substantially. So, yes, it should be repealed. And of course, the president went around today or yesterday, and I think it was today, and actually only talked to Democrats, didn't talk to any Republicans, not a surprise, saying that what is needed now is a new Tea Party to prevent this, a Democratic Tea Party, a Democrat Tea Party, and that they should call it Trump Care now, which is really interesting because you could tell that he was genuinely hurt and smarted from the opposition to passing Obamacare originally. And this is the power of the presidency, because if the Congress repeals it, then President Trump will sign it. So it will be repealed, and it should be. And this is the piece that has been missing from all of this. The idea that they would get this together and do it before this can be done, this needs to be done right away. And it will probably be done in using a tactic that involves, rules of the House and the Senate that they'll be able to pass it quickly. So, yeah, I mean, that should be something that they do. Undoing an entitlement is difficult, very difficult, because people are not going to be happy about it. But if they do it quickly, the way it was done originally, then fine. Now, the real test is going to be to see whether the Republicans actually live up to their word and reveal all these pieces of the Obamacare ACA legislation. They will use reconciliation most probably to do this. This is a way for Congress to speed action on legislation that changes taxes and spending, especially spending for entitlement programs. And they've used it many, many times. It started with the Congressional Budget and Impoundment Control Act of 1974, which was supposed to give Congress more control over the budget process by allowing lawmakers to set overall levels of spending and revenue. And again, Congress is the side of government that is supposed to budget and is responsible for this. They're not taking anything away from anyone. Now, if you're on the other side of the fence, this is something that needs to be said, because I still think most people do not understand. This is the way our government works. There are certainly thin majorities for Republicans in the Senate, pretty good majorities for the Republicans in the House, and now there is a Republican president, and this is how things get done in this country. So people have waited for a long time to see a repeal for Obamacare. They voted for Republicans in their state legislatures and in their federal legislature, and they and at least you know, electorally, they voted for a Republican president. So I will wait. And the other thing is, I would A, say this is the way the government works. But I would say that to both sides, because there's going to be things that happen that people aren't going to be thrilled about. You know, Rand Paul is already saying that they shouldn't repeal it. They need to do a repeal and replace, which opens up a whole can of worms. You know, and maybe he's right. I mean, Rand Paul is no dummy. I'm sitting back and looking at all this, and I'm just thinking, you know, I want a judge. I certainly would be happy seeing Obamacare go away, because I think the penalties are really a problem. I think the costs for insurance are really a problem. I think it's one of the reasons that we have stagnant economic growth, and I think we need a complete you know, overhaul of the medical insurance system in this country. But that is why you know, that is why we had you know, 2 years of debate on this bill before it was passed. It's the reason that Tea Parties actually were created in the first place, and it's going to produce a reaction. So it's the way the government works. So if Congress repeals it, that's going to go to the Senate. The Senate may do things to it, because someone like Rand Paul is one of 100 as opposed to one of 435, right? So there's going to have to be a reconciliation between what happens in both houses before it even gets to the new president to be signed. But this was a promise that the Republicans made to their constituents. It's certainly a promise that you know, President-elect Trump made on the campaign trail. It's certainly something that Vice President-elect Mike Pence has felt strongly about. And he just said today, I intend to keep. You know, he didn't say I intend. He said the Republicans intend to keep their promises. Okay, so there's that, and that is going on. The other thing that happened this weekend is, so a couple of days ago, last week, I guess it was, the Washington Post published a story which purported to tell people that the Russians had hacked into the U.S. electricity grid. I think it was in Vermont someplace. This turned out to be completely false, and there is a subtext of opinion. They printed a retraction over the holidays, and they also, you know, ran the original Russian threat story, Russia's behind a massive explosion of fake news story on, they ran a note or a badge over the top of the story that said they had no proof for any of the claims of the story. They didn't say that that they had proof of it. And then I don't know if they finally retracted that story or not. That kind of is what got everything started. And Glenn Greenwald, who has been kind of at the corner of the Snowden stories, he was involved with Ed Snowden, and he certainly talked about and been part of the Julian Assange story. I'm not really a fan of Glenn Greenwald, and I'm not actually supporting necessarily what he's saying, but he wrote a piece in which he talked about the Washington Post being richly rewarded for false news about Russia while the public is deceived, claiming that, you know, Twitter richly rewards people for running tweets, and that the Democrats have a whole group of people who are tweeting out things that are false, and the Washington Post is rewarding that. Well, the gist of the, and I should say this because I kind of criticize people for saying this on Facebook, the gist of the stories on Facebook were that, how can I say this? What do we do? Okay, the story has been retracted, but what do we do now about stories that people have believed? I guess that's the best way to describe it. And I said, you know, first of all, do you believe everything that you read? That's the first thing. The second thing is that we shouldn't have one source. And if something is tweeted out or repeated or claimed, if a group of Democrat operatives with lots of Twitter followers are tweeting things out and people are believing things, they do so at their own risk. And I mean, this court sort of string on Facebook ended up with, well, do you want to pass a law about this? And of course, if you're a conservative, quote unquote conservative, and I'm going to get to that too, you know, passing a law is silly. Nobody wants to pass a law because, you know, conservatives are supposed to be against passing laws. And certainly you can't pass laws that contravene the First Amendment. I've been saying this in relation to the whole quote unquote fake news thing, which, by the way, has been continued. It has been repeated over and over again, generally by Democrat operatives. So there's that. So I just want to say that we have to be more suspicious than ever of any media outlet, and we have to be more diligent about making sure that we read different sources, that we look at different sources and not YouTube videos, and that we read books and that we think about where change comes from, as I put up in the last podcast, or we think about why we think things. We have to be introspective. What has happened now is that there is more expected of people who may be on the right end of the spectrum, so to speak. And I am even hesitant to say that. I think it was Red State ran a piece this week that said, there's more, a recent Gallup poll says there's more conservatives than liberals, and went on to talk about what a conservative is and what is a liberal. I wouldn't even use the word conservative and liberal, because I don't think that they are descriptive in any way, shape, or form. You know, you have so-called conservatives who voted for Donald Trump who are demanding that we become trade protectionist, which has generally been a union Democrat issue. And if you're in any way for less government, if you're in any way libertarian, then you're a free trader. And again, I'm going to repeat, we have trade legislation. We have trade agreements that are negotiated because most of our trading partners are trade protectionists. Most of the trade agreements actually open trade to the United States, not close it off to the United States. So becoming trade protectionist is hardly a Republican or a conservative idea. This is just one example of some of the confusion, and yet they call themselves conservatives, or they'll come up and they'll say, I'm conservative, but I'm for the stadium. I think we should build the stadium, whatever the big project. I consider myself a conservative, but I think the train is a good idea. We don't oppose these things because they are bad ideas or good ideas. We oppose them because we believe that government should have nothing to do with those kinds of things. When they talk about creating jobs and government creating jobs, we generally recoil because the government doesn't create jobs. The only way that a government can create jobs is by literally hiring people for government. So, you know, policies certainly have economic impact, but quote unquote creating jobs is not a conservative idea. And bringing jobs back to America is not a conservative idea. It's usually associated with unions. It's usually associated with Democrats. It's usually associated with big government, quote unquote, Republicans. And that's what we have in Washington, a lot of big government Republicans. So the idea of a conservative or liberal really doesn't mean anything. And if you've heard me speak, and people get very upset when I say this, but if you generally believe in classic economic theory, so if you're a Henry Hazlitt, guy, we'll just use Henry Hazlitt as a good example. If you're a classic Adam Smith kind of guy, let's say, you wouldn't classify yourself as a conservative. You know, the idea of representative government, free trade, capitalist, so to speak, even though that's Marx's term for classic economics, policies, you are in fact a liberal, because representative governments and classic economics and free trade were liberal ideas 400 years ago, and 300 and 200 years ago. So a person who is a libertarian, who believes that people should be able to do what they want, and we should have as few laws as we need, and that we need to make sure that we control or restrict government because of the malicious power of government to get into people's business. Well, you're a liberal. You're not a conservative. Conservatives are, the Democrats are actually conservatives because, A, they're for the status quo, and B, they are for the expansion and consolidation of government power to the extent that they want to get rid of the Electoral College, and they want to do this and they want to do that, all these things that the Democrats want to do. They're not they're not liberals. They're actually conservatives. So if you're on the far right, you're actually a liberal. And people get very upset with me. My son told me, don't tell people that. But I think it's really important to say that, because so much of the media is confused about the political spectrum. And so much of the people are confused about what they think they believe or don't believe. They kind of believe, a pot of different ideas, and yet they go around calling themselves conservatives. So this is a huge problem, because when you say Breitbart is a conservative source, well, is it? How is it? It's certainly different in its ideas from the Washington Post, but when news sources start aligning themselves with words, which is really what they're doing, they begin the process of disinforming, not informing, but disinforming the public. And so then everything becomes disinformation. And what I'm trying to do here is put this stuff in perspective and make sense of it. So when you see a story like the Washington Post is richly rewarded for false news about Russia, it's par for the course. All of us need to start working a little bit on how informing ourselves a little bit better. And the way to do that is to read source material. I did a podcast about the market in Minneapolis. And I'll tell you real quickly, to get the information about the subsidies took quite a long time before I went over there. You know, I spent probably a good better part of an hour looking up these different sources. And let me tell you, finding a list of subsidies, if you just do a search and say how much did market, whatever the thing is, I want to call it International Market Square, that's not what it is, but whatever the Sears Tower project was, how much in subsidies did they get? Well, you don't get, there is no article that tells you that. You have to wade through pages and pages and pages of PDFs that are full of bunk, you know, all sorts of pictures of Chattanooga and, you know, all sorts of flowery language about what's needed in these urban development areas and everything else, until you find a table that shows you what the subsidies were, right? It takes a little time. And I would urge people to do that when they see a story that or hear a story that, you know, makes them think, start to do research on the source material of that story. Now, very quickly, and I've done tons of podcasts about this, and I've been saying this since the primaries, Greenwald apparently has just discovered that these major news outlets do not contact sources and ask them direct questions, and they do not look at source material. Now, in particular, the story about the Russians hacking the power grid in Vermont was false. Why was it false, and why did the Washington Post print it? Nobody ever called anybody at the power plant to ask them any questions. This is true. Nobody called the person involved with the supposed laptop that had been infected. They just wrote the story because it sounded good. Had they done that, they would have found out that the laptop in question may not even have any malware on it, and that there was never an infection of the power grid in New York from any kind of a threat from the Russians. So it's a completely false story. And I can tell you from covering the primaries and from talking to people in the news media, newsrooms are so, run so tightly. And these news outlets, whether it's talk radio or, you know, CNN or any of these places, they don't run down stories. They call somebody for a quote. So what they do is they fill their pieces with quotes. That's good enough. And they do it. And the way this plays out, as I saw in the primaries, these reporters come in. They set up their cameras, and the cameras are basically recording the event, which is produced to look good on camera. Then they walk around and they ask people who don't know anything. These are the people that have come to the event. They stand there with their pads and their recorders and their cameras, and they ask them questions. And so Joe from Ames, Iowa says, well, I think Donald Trump's a fantastic candidate. Now, Joe from Ames, Iowa may be a big wheel in Iowa politics, but he doesn't know whether Trump is fantastic or not. He has no idea what he's talking about, but he's got an opinion and he's entitled to it. But nobody's going to fact check that, and nobody is going to bother to find out more information. That's one of the chief problems in our media. Now, the coda on that is Minnesota Public Radio just started an investigative news department, and they're putting out podcasts. And they're probably, I know they're the only radio investigative news department in the metropolitan area. I know that WCCO has a bunch of news reporters, but they've also cut that staff back. And what do? They rewrite news from AP and go on the radio and do newscasts. They're not out investigating stories. So the only investigative reporting going on in the Twin Cities is Minnesota Public Radio right now. I don't think there's too much investigative reporting going on at the Pioneer Press or the Tribune or at any of the TV stations. Yeah, they have I-Team investigations, but those aren't necessarily investigations. So it's left up to us to find out what is going on, and we have to do the research. I mean, the information is right there for people. It's not necessarily being hidden. For example, somebody posted this weekend, I got to mention this because it drives me crazy, and this is an example of how people are so misinformed. They talked about... I gotta put this other piece of paper out of the way because there's so many stories today that just drove me nuts. They talked about somebody talked about economic numbers, and they said, they quietly revise the economic numbers every time it comes out, so it looks better. Well, that is not true. Economic numbers are revised four times, and all economic numbers are revised four times. There is a revision. There's the original story, then the original number, so there's a revision, and as new information, those revisions come in. And I wondered, well, is this person going to complain about revisions when it starts to make Trump look good? To wit, there is a report in the quote-unquote Truth Revolt, whatever that is, that goes back and looks at revisions for November and says, see, this proves that Trump is causing more spending in construction and manufacturing, which is just nonsense. The numbers are a revision from November. They could be revised down. They could be revised up. Trump will certainly have his time to influence the economy, but you cannot go and look at economic numbers during this president's reign, or whatever you want to call it, and say Trump did that. Because this is exactly what people criticized Democrats for saying when they went back and said everything was Bush's fault, right? And Republicans railed about this. This is what I'm talking about. This guy posting on somebody else's page didn't know that economic numbers are revised as a matter of course all the time. Every time a GDP number comes out, it's revised, sometimes up, sometimes down, depending on the new information. So this podcast is, I don't want to go on too long because it's getting close to the time people are going to start showing up, but I just want to say that this is the kind of stuff you're responsible to figure out. You're responsible to find out whether or not economic numbers are revised. You're responsible to figure out whether the Washington Post is putting out fake stories. Somebody, for example, looking at an article from the Rolling Stone, or looking at an article from some publication that's been discredited, or looking at only one source and saying, see, it says right here, you're not doing your work. And I hate to tell you this, and I said it all during the election, and I'm going to say it again. You cannot trust these media outlets because they're all invested in a particular outcome. So if you're a media outlet and you supported Hillary Clinton and most of your people are Democrat, well, you're invested in Obama being made to look like a great president. You're invested in Trump being a disaster, and you're invested in making the Republicans look bad. If you're Breitbart, if you're on the right, if you're part of the alt-right, you're invested in having your point of view look like, thank God, this was a landslide. There's a huge mandate. They're going to fix everything. Things are going to be great. This is exactly what people complain about when they talk about America being divided and into this camp or that camp. And our media consistently tries to separate us into camps and give us names. You're a Republican. You're a Democrat. You're a this. You're a that. I'm a nothing. I know what I want. I don't want more government. I want less government. And I think people have to be dedicated to dismantling the power of government permanently. And that takes the form of, for example, in my area, we have this regional planning council called the Met Council. And they've piddled around with the Met Council by putting different people on the board and staggering the terms of the commissioners and on and on and on. And they're not doing anything. The state legislature, the Republicans, which now control the Senate and the House, certainly have the power to repeal the funding for the Met Council, to repeal the statutes that give the Met Council the power to tell towns and cities what to do, and to force the governor to sign it or not sign it. And in particular, they can take the Met Council's police department away from them permanently, and they can cut the funding by first cutting the salaries of the Met Council members in half initially, and sending that to the governor and forcing him to demand that they not pass it or just table it and refuse to pass any funding. So there's a lot they could do to dismantle permanently the Met Council. That's what I'm talking about. We need to permanently repeal, dismantle, and reduce government intervention in individuals' lives. Literally, get government off people's back. If the Republicans do that, if this president-elect does that, I think things will get a lot better, relatively shortly, and I will applaud it if they do that. If they don't do that, well, I'm going to talk about the fact that they haven't done that. So, that's my orientation. I don't have much other orientation than I think government power is pernicious and dangerous and malicious in some cases. I think we've seen a lot of examples of that, on both ends of the political spectrum, depending on where you're coming from, whether it's, people getting shot by the police, or whether it is drones or spying or, high taxes, low taxes, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. There's plenty of examples throughout the political spectrum of the pernicious and malicious power of government, whether it's state, local, or federal government. So that's my political orientation. I don't believe we should be spending money for infrastructure. I don't believe that we should be spending. I don't believe the government creates jobs. I think we do that. And I think our responsibility is, we're called to a higher level of responsibility as Americans to push our government to get out of the way and let us do what we do. As the farmer says, if you get out of the way, I'll give you some food in about 6 months. Right? That I will end with, because I think that's the key thing. I'm just telling you my orientation. I don't think we should let these people separate us. I want to be able to listen to my so-called Democrat friends or my friends on the left, and I want to be able to say, that's a concern. That's an interesting question. And I want them to listen to me and say, okay, we really don't have any proof that the Russians hacked. So let's just table that until we get more information, right? I want them to be able to listen and to be able to treat me as a friend and perhaps disagree with me politically about my crazy small government ideas, while I also listen to them and think, well, maybe there's some, value to what they're saying. And what's separating us isn't us. I'm not separated from my neighbors because of that, or because of the people I disagree with because of that, or my yoga buddies because of that. I'm separated from them because constantly the media is labeling people they don't even know and saying they are this or they are that. You're a man, you're a woman, you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you're a tranny, you're a this, you're a that. It's ridiculous. We are human beings. Like that guy in that movie that had the elephantitis. I'm a human being. So we're in a newsrich environment right now with the swearing in of the new Congress, a thinner majority in the Senate than before. So this is nothing new. We've had a Republican Congress for a couple of, Congresses, and certainly a Republican House of Representatives for a couple of Congresses. And now, there's going to be a Republican president sworn in. And the nature of things is going to change. The nature of policy is going to change, and there's a lot to cover. And we're now going to really see the failings of media. And I hate to keep talking about media. I hate to keep having to point out, because it's becoming a truism. Well, the media is dishonest, or the media is false, or fake news. It's all fake news, or whatever. But nobody's telling people how to get information, where to get information, what to do, how to figure out how to get some kind of basis of truth in their lives. They're just telling you over and over again that I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know what the truth is. I don't think anyone does, because we're not in the halls of government. We're not close enough to know what the truth is. And even the people in the Puzzle Palace, which is what they call the CIA and all of these agencies, with all of these people and the things that they do, who knows what the truth is about any of this stuff? So you kind of have to look for threads, and you kind of have to understand where things are going to go and how things are going to play out. And it's very difficult to do that if you don't have all the information. information, and that's why I'm trying to provide some kind of perspective on this. I am not happy with these kinds of, talk. I call them talker podcasts where I just talk. I don't like doing this because I like to think things through a little bit, but sometimes you just got to talk about what is going on and go through some news stories and just point out where there are some issues and try to give people some perspective. Now, in the next 24 hours in podcast time, we're going to find out a little bit more about what evidence the intelligence agencies actually have on the so-called Russian hack. So look for a spate of coverage and stories all repeating what they say. Well, I just watched a Fox News thing that says something to the effect that they're going to release new information on the Russian hack of the American political system. You have to dig deep, deep, deep to find out that the Russians have been trying to influence U.S. policy and U.S. government election, U.S. government and U.S. elections since this, for 70 years. As I have often said, as have all the other, allies and enemies of the United States, this is how the game is played. We do the same thing. So is this a story or isn't it? I mean, is this just par for the course with new tools, or is this something that's significant? The other thing is people keep conflating, and I did it, the Clinton server, which Guccifer hacked. Guccifer's in jail and had nothing to do with hacking John Podesta's email with the spear phishing scheme that resulted in the spate of these latest accusations about Russia, quote unquote, intervening in the U.S. election. Did they hack voting machines? No evidence of that. Is there even any evidence that the Russian government did hack the U.S. government? I don't know. They're not showing everybody what they have. There's a lot of people that seem real sure, but apparently there are people like Ron Johnson, who is the new chair of the Homeland Security Committee, or the chair of the Homeland Security Committee, who remains unconvinced. Is it politically motivated? I don't know. And I think there's a lot of questions that you could just say at this point, we don't know. And we're going to go down the road and we're going to see. It's just another example, I think, of the changing times. And I believe, and I've told you a little bit about what I believe in this podcast, but I believe that this is not the government that's going to fix things. And I don't mean a new system. I just mean this particular government, the Republicans. This is not going to address what needs to be addressed. They'll do some of it. I talked about Obamacare in this podcast, and there'll be some other legislative initiatives that I'll talk about. They'll do some of it. But I wouldn't hold my breath that this is going to be the government that changes things. We shall see. And I have to stop there because I don't have any more information and people are coming over. So thanks for listening to Podcast 587, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Remember, if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha AOA saves lives. It's all about flying safe. Click on Alpha Systems banners for more info about the Alpha revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com, right at the top of the page. Don't forget the no sugar hydration drink, which is so useful for almost anything that you do, especially in this dry winter, especially when it gets cold, especially when we go through these temperature changes where it's 14 below and then it's 35 or 30. Don't forget Hydrus, hydrusperformance.com. You just click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, takes you to their page, hydrusperformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com. Thanks to everyone for listening to the Bob Davis podcasts. Right off the page, the audio stream that is new. When you hit the page, you can start listening to it. If you're on an iPhone, you have to initiate it. But some smartphones actually start playing the audio streaming, and it's great. People are starting to use it. Thanks for listening on Stitcher and TuneIn. But the granddaddy of syndication for podcasters, of course, is iTunes, and you can find me at iTunes by just entering the Bob Davis podcast. And thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, following on Facebook and Twitter, such as social media is. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, parked in its very, very warm, inside garage for winter. I'm super excited about that. And thanks for everything else. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast in 2016 and 2017. Happy New Year.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset. It's all in the air. You hear it everywhere. No matter what you do, it's gonna grab a
hold on you. Grab a hold on you. Grab a hold on you. Grab a hold on you. Grab a hold on.
But you can't forget from sundown to sun.